Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life listener style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Gloria. Hey, Miss Gloria is here tonight. So, hey, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am doing wonderfully well. And what about yourself?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking. And so for those who haven't listened in before, we welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. To scoot your little chair up here. We're all going to get nice and cozy and start about talking about some of the things that are happening all over the planet, which is definitely a lot than us the last week or so. Happy New Year as well to everybody. Happy New Year, Miss Gloria.
Thank you.
Yeah. So right off the bat, we don't have a guest tonight, but that's okay because Miss Gloria and I, we had a show a couple weeks ago that we weren't aware that because of the scheduling changes that Blog Talk Radio has had, we went from a one-hour format to a half-hour format. And we ended up having a week where we had a glitch on the problem with the programming. And so Miss Gloria and I got on the phone, and I think we talked for 2 hours together. when we didn't have a show, we wound up talking to each other. So we have lots of things to talk about. So if any of you would like to be calling in, we are definitely have the switchboard alive and well and looking forward to your call. And again, that number, again, if you're listening through the computer, is 646-727-3206. We also have the chat line activated, so if you want to go ahead and get into the chat line, we will we'll check you out in the chat room, and I will go ahead and let our Ms. Goyer know that we've got some questions, so we look forward to that. So this week, oh my goodness, we have had so much going on. Just today, we were just kind of checking on the current stuff before we went live, and of course we've got the flooding going on in Brisbane, Australia, and my goodness, that's just been something they've been dealing with for the past week or so. And it's kind of a blessing, but yet how terrifying it is, because through the satellites and things like that, they're being able to watch the water actually coming to some of these larger cities. And the good news is a lot of people are evacuating and doing what they need to do, but just imagining that that's something that, you know, would be coming into, you know, your home and having that kind of a devastating thing coming through there, that must be just something, my goodness. And
I know growing up that we had the Illinois River that went through the center of the city, and we would have floods, and it really affected a lot of the businesses. There were some local businesses that would have gangplanks so that you could walk from the parking lot to their front door.
Wow. Yeah. So they were showing different film clips and stuff like that of people. They were actually in their apartments, like on the second floor, and they had their cars in the parking lot. And, of course, it was right there off the river where some of this flooding started occurring. And, I mean, within like 5 minutes, a lot of these cars were getting picked up and swept away. Right. And they were literally just kind of watching that occur. So, and these people were, like, contemplating, like, well, should we run down there and try to move a car? You know, but I don't want to be in the car when it starts floating down the river. So, you know, it was something about, you know, my life is worth more than a car. They did show one guy, he actually got in right before the water was taking away some of these other cars. And he had kind of a bigger, heavier car, so he was able to move it out of the way. And I don't know if he was able to save it. Probably not, because some of these places just got really flooded. We're talking, you know, 5-6 feet of water. It major waves and stuff happening. So we definitely send our prayers and well wishes to everyone that's dealing with all that, and that the waters recedes, you know, quickly, and, you know, it's a minimum amount of damage, and people can moving on with their stuff. So, and along with that too, we've got the South now. It's definitely down into a deep freeze situation where it's been for at least a couple of days now. They basically have been pretty much at a standstill because they're just not used to that kind of weather and having it so deep in the matter of ice that's been accumulating. So that's just an amazing thing to be seeing too. So you can tell the poles have shifted. Our poles have shifted. You can tell that by just what's going on with the weather and happening on everything. And there was warnings that they're talking about tonight, the East Coast. They're warning everybody that they're up to some places. I think Boston, they were saying they were anticipating like even 15 inches of snow. It's just amazing. I'm thinking of that big storm that we had. Gosh, it's been over a week now. It was almost 2 weeks ago we had that big storm, huh, Gloria, here in California, where it rained for 5 days straight. And
I think in the scheme of things, you can't really call that a big storm.
No. Well, for us, it was just like we kept looking up going, it's still raining, and it's still raining, and it's still raining. I could just imagine some of these people that had been in the south and in the east, you know, when they started having all those floods occurring, and you just gave us a little taste of what that could be like, where you just don't, you know, what are you going to do? It's rain. Mother Nature, you know, changing your whole life very quickly, very, very quickly. So, again, our prayers go out to all that. So, Gloria and I were talking a little bit. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it really is awful living in an area or being immersed in water. The damage, the after effects, you know, I mean, I only experienced it one time, but I had all of my possessions in a garage, and the garage was flooded because one of the aqueducts in Orange County the drains had not been cleared. And so the water didn't get drained into the culverts that they had, and it collected on the waters and it flooded all of the homes. To get from the drive or to get from the road where we could park the car to get to the house, I had hiked up my skirt that I was wearing from work, and the water literally came up to the top of my thighs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just to get to the house. So it is devastating, the frustration, the loss, the damage, and you know, just the aftermath, even going after you've gone through it, is going to last with them for quite a while.
And yeah, just the picture they were showing in you know, Brisbane about what that looked like. It's really hard to imagine when you've never had anything like that happen to you. You know, like you're saying, how devastating that can be for everybody. They were talking about that being a flash tsunami, the way that it's just gone through and just moved everything. Houses are, you know, being swept away, cars, people, all kinds of stuff. The good news is it's been minimal with the amount of people, but still, it's just amazing. And, you know, you think about how Australia has just been suffering for so long with that drought situation that they've been having, you know, for years. I mean, I think I'd seen that a National Geographic about them last summer. They were talking about all the ways that they were trying to preserve water and all that because it's been so long since they'd had just the regular normal rainfall that they'd had. And now here we've got flooding situations. So it's just so interesting how things have just shifted so quickly. So our prayers for that. Hey, do you have any significance with England? We got a 1-11-11. Do you think of any significance? All these ones happening.
I had a friend of mine email me and ask everybody on her list. She was like, at 1-11-11, think, focus, get what you want. So,
well, 11-11 is a master's number, isn't it?
Well, energetically, one, if I remember correctly, and I'm definitely not studied on this, but one is a primary number, and so it's also, you know, it's the beginning of the number system, 1 through 10.
Uh-huh.
So it's the beginning of anything.
Right.
So if you magnify that and you take it exponentially, then I would assume that it would have that power associated with it.
Mm-hmm. So we've got that. And I think somebody was saying that the number of, like, the masters, that's the reason why Jesus was born on 11. I think I heard something about that the other day about that's the reason why there's 11-11 because of, you know, was a number for Jesus. So, you know, so they've got 11-11-22, you know, the 2-2,
yeah,
3-3-4-4.
Yeah.
I'd heard an astrologer say that a couple weeks ago with all the different stuff that the shamanistic astrology, they periodically have stuff. And with everything with the new year, they were projecting some new stuff that was going to be happening. And these storms and everything is exactly what one of the astrologers had been projecting. She was saying, you know, get ready for a lot of storms and just different stuff that's going to be out there that's going to be really changing the the atmosphere and the climate. I was actually going to look at my emails real quick to see if I've got her still in here, because it was a really good report of just different kinds of stuff. It was funny, well, not funny, but it was interesting because she's up in the Seattle area, and she was telling people that she had done some stuff looking at just because this one astrologer, she does it really interestingly. She'll look at the planets, and then she looks how they're aligning with the Earth, and then she can notice if there's any kind of formations of weather and things like that that are going to be happening depending on the planet and what's happening with things. And all the stuff that was going on with California, she said that actually California was going to be kind of in this place of grace where just not too much was going to be happening for California. So that was good news. Yeah. Anyway, that was her projection. So we were like, yeah, that's good.
If we had too much, we might end up in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. And she said that whole premise of that, she just feels with that rain and stuff that we'd had and all the different things that we've been having, definitely made it to where it was Mahala. If you go to Mahala.com, Mahala, mm-hmm. She's up in the Seattle area, and she has MahalaAstrology.com. She was the one that I was thinking of. And anyway, she had a really good report on that. And she's very good. You can sign up for her newsletter, and she does a thing on a monthly basis where she does some radio interviews and stuff like that that you can actually go to. I think even on Blog Talk, if you go to Paula and Tara, I think that's another show that they had on there that they that she was getting announced on, stuff like that too. So Blog Talk's pretty cool. We got all kinds of different radio personalities on there, all different kinds of things that we cover on a regular basis that is just really cool. So I have to get used to the fact that we only have a half an hour, so, you know, we just got to move along here. Making sure I get all this stuff done. So can I go ahead and read this to you, Gloria, and I'd like to share with the readers. This is I have a book that I have been reading probably for, I think, the last 5 or 6 years anyway, and it's a daily devotional that I just have found to be just a really wonderful thing. It's one of those things where you get it gifted to from a friend, and it's like I wish I remembered who had given it to me, because it's been such a blessing to me. It's the Book of Awakenings by Mark Nepo, and he is a poet and comes from a very spiritual perspective. And with all the things that have been happening, this is actually today's reading, and I wanted to go ahead and share that with you guys. It says, Ted Shaw, to know God without being godlike is like trying to swim without entering the water. Underneath all we're taught, there is a voice that calls to us beyond what is reasonable. And in listening to that flicker of spirit, we often find deep healing. This is the voice of embodiment, calling us to live our lives like sweet music, and often speaks to us briefly in moments of deep crisis. Sometimes it is so faint we mistake its whisper for wind in through the trees. But taking it into the heart of our pain, it can often open the paralysis of our lives. This brings to mind the story of a young divinity student who was stricken with polio. And from somewhere deep within him came an unlikely voice calling him to of all things dance. And so, with great difficulty, he quit divinity school and began to dance. And slowly and miraculously, he not only gained the use of his legs, but he went on to become one of the fathers of modern dance. This is the story of Ted Shaw, and it is compelling for us to realize that studying God did not heal him. Embodying God did. The fact that Ted Shaw's miracles show us that dance, in all its forms, is theology lived. This leads us to the inescapable act of living without what is kept in, of daring to breathe in muscle and bone that we know and feel and believe again and again. Whatever crisis we face, there is the voice and embodiment that speaks beneath our pain ever so quickly. And if we can hear it and believe it, it will show us a way to be reborn. The courage to hear and embody opens us to startling secrets, that the best and chance to be whole is to love whatever gets in the way until it ceases to be an obstacle. So there you go. And I think that's really true. Loving what is until it ceases to be an obstacle. And recognizing that there's a gift in everything. And that is quite the challenge when you've got all these things, you know, whether it's you're actually the one who's experiencing it or when, you know, viewing it on whatever level, and just sending our hearts out to having, knowing that, you know, people are being asked to grow and change through these miraculous yet challenging times. What do you think of that, Gloria?
Yeah, it's one of the more difficult things to do to be able to maintain that focus.
What have you found in your life that's really helped you to do that?
To do the, which part?
Be able to focus when you've got something challenging.
I don't know that I've been very successful with that.
Okay. Well, that's being really honest. Yeah, for whatever reason,
It comes down to becoming aware of the circumstances so that the focus can be created. Because when you're in the midst of dancing as fast as you can, sometimes you lose sight. You know, like when the ballerina has to pirouette and they have to focus before they turn and keep their focus so that when they do the complete circle, they're still standing at the end and headed in the direction they should go. So unless you can know where you're going, you're unable to focus. And when you're dancing very quickly and turning in rapid circles, as an analogy for, you know, just looking at how we are spending the energy of who we are in life just towards survival and getting through the day. So taking a moment to just stop and recognize what it is that we need to look at that is actually causing pain in our lives. Because until you know where the injury is, you're unable to even determine what the injury is if you haven't located the location of it. And so then once you know what it is, then you can actually attend to it. So I would say that just stopping for a moment and determining what it is, where it is, what it is, and what's going to be the most beneficial way to give it peace to the area in your life that needs the healing.
Yeah, I was thinking when you were saying that, it was just like, you know, be still. Be still and just allow yourself to be in a reflective place for just you in a few moments. And you can just know so much about yourself in doing that. You know, over and over again, it seems like most of the books that I've been really profoundly changed by are ones that really encourage you to have moments of stillness, have moments where you're connecting back to nature, have moments when you're really making that time every day to be in the practice of meditation and reflection and just being in a loving place with yourself too. And I also want to say, just asking for help and knowing that you're not in this, you know, alone, no matter what your circumstances are. There's always someone there that you can ask for assistance, you know?
Right. Also, just the idea of not being fearful of looking inside. You know, a lot of people they don't want to look inside. And I'm not saying that it's a majority. I'm just saying a lot of people, they don't necessarily have the experience with being in touch with who they are and really stopping and being vulnerable to themselves. I know that we had discussed a while back about what vulnerability really is. And the idea of being vulnerable to yourself and accepting. I mean, we are all children of God, and recognizing that we're all perfect in our imperfections is such a huge step. Is such a huge step in loving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you can love yourself and have compassion for yourself, and those things that you may perceive, if you were to lend judgment instead of discernment to them as shortcomings or failings, these are the things that people, when they are able to love themselves, can look at. And it's not even about forgiving oneself for having it, because it's truly a strength within each of us. And it's just another skill area to master within who we are in the world.
Some of the reading that I've been looking at lately has really been encouraging me to look at that from a perspective of, what if I'm a divine creator and I was creating these things for contrast? I was creating these things to have a human experience. And just reveling in the fact that through that creation, you know, I had all these different experiences. And so instead of saying it was a bad thing, it was a miraculous thing, because in lots of ways it was almost beyond, you know, how silly you're a part of, you know, the God self. You're part of the perfection. Like you're saying, I'm perfect in my imperfection. But by, with that imperfection, it's helping me to expand and be an expression of you know, all that is creation.
And that's very true. And if you were to take it to an additional level and look at the physics of existence and that we exist on multidimensional levels, if you've ever read any of the works, there's Jonathan Livingston Seagull and I think I'm thinking of the one called Feathers. And he talks about multidimensional realities of our own self. And so, you know, for every choice that we have in life, for every circumstance, there are ultimate multiple numbers of choices that we can take. Well, if you were to understand that for each choice you could make, there is a level of existence of you on another plane, so the actions that you take on this level can affect the action at that same moment in time for the individual on another level. And so if you are to focus on those things that you may not be what you consider to be perfect at. Like, I went and explored water painting. I'm assuming that me on some other level is a master painter. And
well,
another
of course.
Person,
come on now.
And another person on another level would not even assume to even pick up a paintbrush. So by me actually taking action, I'm assisting all levels of that individual that exists on so many different planes, and in addition to enhancing myself. So I hope that wasn't too much of a tangent.
No, but that's really true, because that's what a lot of this you know, and some people would say it's modern thought, but really from the beginning sources of what I've been looking at, we're talking in the beginning of the 1900s, a lot of these forward-thinking, you know, motivational speaking and modern day self-development, you know, gurus of that time were talking the same thing. And what was interesting is during that time, like, one of the people that I've been looking at is Charles Hanel, H-A-A-N-E-L, and he was actually the father of all the stuff that, I just can't think of the guy's name, the other one that, Hill, his last name's Hill. Napoleon Hill. He was a mentor for Napoleon Hill. So Charles was really a forward thinker when it came to a lot of the different concepts that are just pretty much, it's like part of it's the, you know, the power of attraction with the secret and things like that are out there now. So I thought it was really interesting to be going to the turn of the century and hear a lot of these things were already out there for people to be looking at. But it really makes sense too, because it's like when we're ready on a multiple, you know, multidimensional level, we're going to have these other aspects of ourselves, be it ourselves or someone else, who are bringing those things to remind us of we're ready to expand to another level, and here it is. So that's exciting, you know.
It's wonderful.
Exciting to know that it's out there, huh?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and that's really what's going on with a lot of this stuff, is we're being asked to expand in ways that we couldn't have even imagined before. And, you know, here we're looking at the Earth that's evolving as well. You know, she's doing what she needs to be doing, and that, you know, our solar system and, you know, our universe, everything is expanding. And with that, there's all these changes that are happening. So on a micro level, we want to call it a disaster. But when you're looking at it from a spatial and universal level, it's just, you know, this miraculous thing of just wanting to expand and grow and change. So, you know, it's always a reminder that, you know, the only thing you can count on is change. So, you know, and when on whatever level, hopefully we can be comfortable with that and have a peace about that, you know.
Right.
I always think, too, when it comes to a sense of changing, it's you know, whether we're, you know, a single dimension or multidimensional beings, coming from the heart and really connecting to ourselves on that heart level and asking our head instead of our heart, you know, what needs to be done here, what, you know, doesn't need to be done here, and being able to move ourselves forward can be such a powerful thing in connection. And keeping it simple, you know, there's something to be said for having things being done in a very simple and poetic way. So that's always a grace for that. You know, whether it is it's someone who thinks their way to God would be through, you know, the theory, theology, and then realizing that they can dance their way through joy and movement. So it's just a different way of expressing the same thing. So that's pretty cool. Also, I was thinking of the guy who, I heard another thing about the one guy who had broken the running barrier. You know, they said that no one could run a 4-minute mile. I wish I could remember the name of the guy who was listening to that today, too. And how, you know, they actually thought that the body was going to fall apart if they went less than three, you know, under a 4-minute mile. And now it's like no big deal. You know, they're constantly breaking these things that they said that there was no possible way that it could happen. And I don't even know what it is now for, you know, I think we're in the upper threes now for a mile. It's crazy.
Isn't it great?
Something like that. It is great because it just shows that, you know, it's kind of like if you know, the mind doesn't, you know, it's just not a matter of having it be a matter. It's a matter of just like what's the possibilities of this thing. You blink and you're there. How about that?
Well,
it's not even a matter of any of that. So,
well, when you put into play also the evolution of the human being, so, you know, prospectively at that point in time, their reality was such based upon their own DNA structures. And so as we go generation to generation, then that DNA is altered through awareness, not even necessarily through the ability being contained within the person that is reproducing, but the things that they experience in their lifetime where they recognize that it's possible and it gets ingrained into their thoughts and who they are, and that's birthed into those people that they give reproduction to.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, you know, we're only limited by our thoughts and beliefs, and just, like, take a look at that. If something isn't working in your life, look at your thoughts and beliefs and, you know, change a few things. Let a few things go.
Right.
And be able to embrace them.
And recognize
yeah.
You're passing it on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're down to our last 2 minutes, believe it or not. That's a really half hour. I know. I wanted to remind our listeners, next week we're going to have Dr. Stephen Ward back. We had a great conversation about being driven and what that looks like in the body, what that looks like in our emotional aspects, and how we could be changing our helping, you know, ways of being very conscious within our bodies to help on a structural level for change. So next week we're going to be talking about flow, which ought to be an interesting conversation. And then the next week after that, we've got Mr. Al Diaz back. He's going to be talking about his trip coming up to Kauai with the Spiritual Expo they'll be having over there at the end of the month. So we're excited to hear about that and see what those little adventures are about. Mr. Al is always a fun person to talk to. Last time he was on the show, if you didn't get a chance to hear that, I think that was on the 17th of December, we had a good time talking to Al and giving him all kinds of really great ideas of ways he could expand his mirror experience that he has of really having people look at themselves and being able to accept that and change. So that's been I've been kind of playing with that, you know, since I talked to him. So that's been a fun thing, you know, looking at myself and saying, I love you just the way you are. I like who you are and what you are. So there you go. I haven't made a cube yet, so, you know. I haven't put that one together, but that's okay. That's okay. I thank you, Miss Gloria, for being one of our diners. You do always do a fabulous job. So thanks for coming on and hanging out with me. Love you, and I appreciate you all the time. And I thank our listeners for coming on. And if you have any questions, you can go to our website and also be contacting us, you know, through the switchboard, which is always available. And we look forward to talking to you next time at the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.